Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Hannah and Craig Becker. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Johanna Elizabeth Becker was born on April 30, 1983, in Sweden. She went by the name Hannah. In 1989, her family moved to the state of Florida. After graduating from high school, Hannah earned both a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in psychology. One day in 2005, when she was swimming in a pool, she met a man named Craig Becker. They became romantically involved and eventually married. Craig was in the U.S. Navy. He enlisted in 1999 as a deep-sea diver. In 2007, he was commissioned and served in an explosive ordnance disposal unit. In 2013, Craig was assigned to work in a NATO facility in Belgium. Right before he and his wife made the move to Europe, Hannah had an affair with one of Craig's friends. Craig did not discover the treachery at this time. In Belgium, Craig and Hannah lived in a seventh-floor apartment in the town of Mons. Craig worked his desk assignment for NATO, and Hannah worked in a youth center on base. In August 2013, Craig learned about the affair while he and his wife were staying in an army hotel. Hannah went to the front desk of the hotel and reported that Craig attacked her. When the police arrived, she told them that Craig woke her up, dragged her out of bed, picked her up, threw her onto the floor, and strangled her. Hannah said that in addition to physically assaulting her, Craig had taken her identification and credit cards and changed their bank account passwords. One day after making this report, Hannah recanted and said that Craig was trying to prevent her from harming herself. The investigation was officially closed in June 2014. During the same month, Craig and Hannah had a daughter named Isabel. A year and 3 months later, in September 2015, Craig learned that Hannah was having another affair. She was spending nights at the home of her new boyfriend, Christopher, who was a maintenance man at the base where she worked. Craig and Hannah started sleeping in separate rooms and eventually agreed to separate. They signed a separation agreement on September 18, which divided their marital property and established a custody arrangement for Isabel. The couple intended to remain friends, raise their daughter together, and continue working in a joint business venture. Craig found a girlfriend, so he had moved on romantically as well. People who knew the couple thought they had remained amicable during the separation, but what happened next would make them throw that opinion out the window. Before moving to the timeline of the crime, let's hear a word from today's sponsor, Hungry Root. Hungry Root is like a personal shopper and nutritionist wrapped into one. They make it easy to keep my kitchen stocked and assemble healthy and delicious meals without missing a beat. Hungry Root offers high-quality food without the stress of planning and shopping. You just set your goals and preferences, and they fill your cart with personalized picks that get smarter over time. Most meals come together in 15 minutes or less, with tons of options for different diets, everything from smoothies and snacks to salad kits and ready-to-eat meals. Plus, their food is free of artificial sweeteners, preservatives, or high fructose corn syrup. One thing I really like about Hungry Root is how it helps me discover novel foods. My favorite recipe from my last box of Hungry Root included wood-grilled flatbread and mozzarella cheese, which came together to make a delicious pizza in just a few minutes. This meal was full of flavor and perfect for my busy schedule. You're going to love Hungry Root as much as I do. For a limited time, get 40% off your first order, plus get a free item in every box for life. Click the link below or go to hungryroot.com and use code Dr. Grande. That's 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life at hungryroot.com with code Dr. Grande. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On October 8, 2015, 32-year-old Hannah Becker signed a lease and paid the deposit on an apartment of her own. That night, she and Craig had dinner in the apartment they shared. At 8:51 p.m., pedestrians who were near the apartment building contacted the authorities with a frightening report. They heard a woman screaming, then saw Hannah fall out of the bedroom window in her seventh-floor apartment. They said that she exited the window feet first and moved her legs as if pedaling a bicycle. It appeared as though she was trying to prevent sliding down the sloped roof. Hannah was not successful. She slid down the roof on her stomach, making several gouges in the roof along the way. She then slammed into a fourth-floor balcony before falling the rest of the way to the sidewalk. When witnesses approached Hana, she was on her back and bleeding from her head. She was still alive at this point, but she died at 10:30 p.m. after being transported to a hospital. The Belgian authorities spoke to Craig. He told them that earlier in the evening, his wife consumed wine and took medication. She was in her bedroom while he was in another room on the phone. Craig heard a scream and entered Hana's bedroom. As he did this, she jumped out of her window. Craig unsuccessfully tried to reach her. The police briefly examined the apartment. They did not see any sign of a disturbance, and they were not suspicious about Craig. A local magistrate, who was not actually at the scene, declared the case to be closed, stating that Hana was responsible for her own death. 4 days later, on October 12, 2015, the police renewed their investigation after receiving additional reports. For example, they learned that prior to Hana's death, Craig stopped by an office where he used to work and picked up a bag of pills. These pills looked a lot like the sedative Ambien. An autopsy was performed on Hana's body. Several substances were found in her system, including Ambien. She also had the narcotic painkiller Tramadol and the benzodiazepine Versed in her system. On March 18, 2016, the Belgian authorities arrested Craig Becker. On January 5, 2018, the U.S. Navy assumed primary jurisdiction for the case. They took it away from Belgium. In April 2022, Craig was tried by general court-martial. On April 30, he was convicted of premeditated murder, battery, and two specifications of conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. Craig was sentenced to a term of life in prison with the possibility of parole. He is serving his sentence at the U.S. military prison at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. Now moving to my analysis. Craig Becker maintains his innocence, and he has quite a few supporters. They argue that Hana had a long history of mental health symptoms, including substance use. She had threatened to bring harm to herself before. It is not difficult to imagine that Hana caused her own death. Craig had nothing to do with it. The government, of course, disagrees. They argue that even though their case has some serious flaws, the evidence demonstrates that Craig threw Hana out of the window. This brings me to the question, is Craig guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Hana accused Craig of attacking her in August 2013 after he learned about her affair. She recanted, but later told family members and friends that her original claim was true. She feared for her life during the assault and only recanted because she was worried about harming Craig's military career. Hana claimed that Craig was controlling, manipulative, and monitored her phone communication. He controlled how she could dress, prevented her from getting a tattoo, and destroyed her cosmetic products. If Hana was telling the truth originally, this makes it seem like Craig did not react well to her infidelity. Hana was cheating at the time of her death in 2015. Maybe Craig had another bad reaction. 2 days before Hana's death, Craig reported to the police that his wife was having trouble with alcohol consumption. The officer who took the report noted that Craig was more interested in documenting his statement than having the police take any action. For example, Craig did not want the officer to contact Hana and said that he wanted there to be a, quote, trace of the fact that we had this conversation, unquote. Craig purchased a bottle of wine on the day of Hana's death. Why would he do this if he was concerned that she was drinking too much? Prior to Hana's death, Craig picked up pills from his old office, which looked like Ambien. This was one of the drugs found in Hana's system. Hana did not have a prescription for Ambien. An analysis of her hair indicated that she had not used the substance in the 6 months preceding her death. Craig did not have a prescription either, but at one time, his job involved picking up medication for another officer. That officer was prescribed Ambien. On October 8, 2015, at 8:37 p.m., which was 14 minutes before Hana's journey through the window, text messages were sent from her phone to her new boyfriend, Christopher. Hana wrote, quote, Craig is being so blanking sweet, and it is confusing. I love him, and I love you. I have the sweetest little baby with him. He was a blank, but now he has changed, and he doesn't want me anymore because he knows I've been with you, unquote. 2 minutes later, at 8:39 p.m., Hannah wrote, I blanking hate my life. The text messages make it seem like Hannah jumped out of the window because losing Craig was unbearable. These messages just happen to make Craig look good, while also explaining how he was not responsible for Hannah's death. This is amazingly convenient for him. The messages take care of all his problems at one time. Craig lied to the authorities, claiming he did not know how to access his wife's phone. However, in reality, he did have the passcode. The I blanking hate my life message was the last one ever to be sent from Hannah's cell phone. Yet her phone was found in the living room. According to Craig, she was supposed to be in her bedroom prior to traveling through the window. Witnesses to Hannah's fall said that Craig looked down from the window to where she fell. So he put his head through the window and looked over. Craig denied that he had looked down from the window. Hannah appeared to be future-oriented at the time of her death. For example, that same day, she signed a lease on an apartment. On the next day, she was planning to leave on a trip to China. Moving to the exculpatory factors, the investigation by the Belgian authorities was unprofessional and haphazard. For example, they never restricted access to the apartment. Hannah had a long history of mental health problems, including being hospitalized after threatening to bring an end to her own life. She was unable or unwilling to restrict her intake of alcohol and other substances. An empty bottle of wine was found next to her bed, and she had multiple substances in her system at the time of her death. Hannah told family members that Craig was controlling. However, there was limited evidence to support this claim. For example, Hannah had regular contact with her friends and would spend nights with her boyfriend. On the day of her death, she had lunch with several close friends. Experts who tried to reconstruct the defenestration of Hannah found that it would have been very difficult for Craig to have pushed her through that window. When he was examined immediately after her death, Craig had no scratches or other injuries. Hannah died from her injuries, but a fall out of that window would not necessarily be fatal in many scenarios. This is due to the slope of the roof and the position of the balcony 3 stories down. Many of the possible trajectories would result in a person landing on that balcony and not going all the way down to the sidewalk. So some people would be fortunate and slide down the roof and end up on the balcony. Others would be unfortunate and fall in a way where they would go all the way down. Craig was an intelligent man. Why would he select a method of homicide that was not guaranteed? This is especially confusing considering how on the other side of the apartment, there was a window that featured a straight drop to the ground. No sloped roof or balcony to get in the way. As far as the medication that Craig retrieved from his old office, his defense said that it was his ADHD medication, not Ambien. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Craig Becker is guilty of murder? In my opinion, he is guilty in reality, but I am not convinced beyond a reasonable doubt. Hannah was erratic, used substances, and had threatened to harm herself in the past. It is reasonable to believe that she climbed through the window herself, lost her balance, and fell. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. In August 2013, when Craig Becker learned that Hannah had cheated on him, he was very upset. He may have physically attacked Hannah, as she originally reported. Her future was dependent on Craig working and making money, so she recanted. After this incident, Craig became controlling and manipulative. He was probably already like this a little bit, but the infidelity supplied him the leverage in the relationship to get away with it. Hannah felt guilty about cheating and believed she needed to abide by Craig's rules to atone for this. Craig was abrupt, rude, and short with Hannah. Some people believed he was embarrassed due to her frequent intoxication. He simply reached a point where he was disgusted with her. This was evident one time when he came home and she was video recording him. Hannah made drapes for their apartment and was excited to show them to Craig. He indicated that he blanking hated them. They were horrible and the fabric was hideous. He wanted to take them down immediately and had an urge to throw up. Hannah was probably looking for feedback that was a little less vomit-oriented. Disappointments like this drove a wedge in their romantic relationship. When Hannah had a second affair, Craig decided that he had enough It was murder time. He was a calculating individual who appreciated a plan that was carefully constructed. For instance, he told his girlfriend that stupid people act on emotion, and subversive acts require well-thought-out plans. He eventually came up with the idea of homicide by defenestration. After lacing Hannah's food with drugs, Craig shoved her through her bedroom window. An incompetent investigation almost handed Craig a chance to escape responsibility, but he was not as good at planning the perfect murder as he originally believed. A primary lesson in this case is how infidelity can be very dangerous. Cheating even one time can introduce volatility into a relationship. Cheating on the same spouse a second time is opening a window to extreme danger. Those are my thoughts on the case of Hannah and Craig Becker. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.